1 Corinthians chapter 2. We worked our way through chapter 1 last week. I didn't spend a lot of time on verses like 24. I covered them a little bit, but 24 through 28. I've covered those verses so much that I didn't want to be going back over what I've talked about so much in the class. And to understand this thoroughly, and the first part of chapter 2, like I've said so many times, you need to go to Acts chapter 17 and 18. And in Acts chapter 17 and 18, you see Paul leaving Athens and going down to Corinth. And you see one of the best pieces of literature and speaking that you'll find in Acts 17, where Paul preached with, you see eloquent preachers who can really speak, but it don't seem like the power was there like it was with just the simple gospel. And that's what he's talking about, I think, here in the end. Like I said, I've covered that so much that I didn't hit on that much. But in verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I mean, he could speak. And he said, you see your calling, brother. Not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty. But he said, if a man's going to glory, let him glory in the Lord. And like I said, we can glory in a lot of things, but we will not glory in the presence of the Lord. That's His glory when we appear before Him. And if we have any glorying, it'll be His reward. And that's about as simple as you can make that. But in chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And you see what he's done there. He's still covering you. I'm still thinking as I read that of Athens. And when you do a study of Athens, like we've done a little bit here, you see where he was coming from. And he delivered that message for that environment. But he goes on to say, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus and Him crucified. And like I said, just go read Acts 16:17 to see his ministry. And then how when he went into Athens and all of that. And then you come down and see how he changed, because in Acts 18 it'll tell you he goes on down to Corinth. All right? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. As I said last week, I don't know. Really, I think that was the fear of the message being taken like it was in Athens. Or it could be the message some believed in Athens, it says, but not as many. And it could be some of the regular old nervousness and fear. But I don't think as much that as it is the fear of that ministry failing it or being taken like it was. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Let me go ahead and read through 8. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As I told you last week, I listed you three people by name that I went and referenced some scriptures in here. And every one of them is smarter man than I am, much more. But I showed you there's three different opinions. Come on, God's speaking. And we'll look at some verses today that are taken, which I think can have both meanings. All right? And I know it's not of any private interpretation, but I'll show you some scriptures here in just a minute. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, when we look at 1 through 8, we see that the simple message of Paul's ministry is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it just gives you the simple message. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. You see, that was the simple gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Simple. And he's saying, just keep it simple. Keep it very simple. So, he also said in 2 Corinthians 10:10 that his speech was contemptible. And he said in 2 Corinthians 11:6, though I be rude in speech. Now, Paul could get sarcastic and he could get tough when it was necessary. You know, a lot of people, they don't like that. But he'll tell them in 2 Corinthians, and we'll look at some of those scriptures later on, what made him that way and why he's that way. Because he loved them, and he did not want them to be deceived. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive himself, and let no man deceive you. That's what he's going to say there. That's the reason he used contemptible speech sometimes. But he said his speech after that, that we saw in Matthew, was not with excellency of words, enticing words of man's wisdom or excellency of speech. Normally, it's to seduce or politicize somebody. Really. I love a good speaker, don't you? My wife and I were talking this morning. She was at home with a crud in her chest. But I said, what you going to watch this morning? She said, I'm going to watch, not W.A. Criswell, but Adrian Rogers. Man's dead, but he's such a tremendous speaker and man of God. And I love to hear people who can eloquently speak. But the power of God is not in how a man can speak. The power of God is the gospel and the word of God. The power of God, as we talked about last week, is not baptism. Baptism is not the power of God. Nowhere in this Bible is baptism the power of God. If you require me to be baptized to be saved, then it's the power of God. But it is not the power of God. The gospel and the word of God and the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. I read you those scriptures. They are the power of God unto salvation to him that believeth. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. No man holds the power of God in his ability to do anything. That's why the simple was not to be deceived. And we'll look at this later. But Paul, the way he lays it out there in Titus 2:8, he said to use sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound speech that cannot. That's what he's telling the pastor there. Now let's go back and look at verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. See, that verse 5 is the why. That's the why. Paul already showed in Athens he could speak. If you wanted to hear some eloquent speaker, just he could put it out that way. But he said it's the power of God and the testimony of the Lord. Even in prophecy, it's the testimony of Christ. It's a prophecy in Revelation. Amen? It's the word of God. Now, we're getting into a word here that it's going to be... I enjoyed studying that this week and looking. I've made mistakes as I've taught along through the years. And when I see that, I come back and I go back and look at some old stuff. Did I say that? I guess God's blinked at my ignorance sometimes. But let's look at something here. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Let me get back. I'm quoting instead of reading. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They did it ignorantly. Is that not what Jesus said and Stephen said? Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And he did, didn't he? I didn't think that till this week. I thought, well, yes, he did. Because he gave them another chance there in Acts. In the first chapters of Acts. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, he's the interceder. And he would have forgiven them. We don't think of those things, but and comes right along in Acts again. They did it ignorantly. Let me talk about some other things right here. Let me go back to verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Mysteries. And Paul's going to go right on in chapter, end of chapter 3, in the first part of chapter 4, and he's going to talk about the mysteries that he's stewards of. He said the apostles were the stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it is required in the steward that a man be found faithful. Faithful to what? The mysteries is what he's talking about. Now, they did it ignorantly. Now, I want to look at some scriptures this morning. Let me turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm going to get this hacking out of my throat. I'm going to hate hearing it as much as I hate doing it. All scripture. Remember what I told you last week? We talked a little bit, and I don't want to spoil chapter 13. But as we come to these things, as I showed you, Paul lays out in the first chapter is a cover sheet of the whole book of Corinthians. He's like saying, well, you just stay with me and we're going to address all these things. And he does. But and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I have said that before, and Brother David corrected me. I would say thoroughly. And you hear that a lot. But it's throughly. Okay? But I've done some work this week in an old dictionary and looking at throughly, and throughly is the word. Throughly furnished. But you know the definition of throughly in that old dictionary, and oh man, God spoke to me through these definitions, you wouldn't believe. Throughly in a thorough manner. If I was going to talk about going through something, which I'm going to show you twofold meanings. Remember, I told you we're going to do that twice today. If anything happens in your life, it's going to be through God. And God doing it through you. But if you add L-Y to through, it's not done in the English Bible. Like speaking through something, to put L-Y with it, give it... No, but... As I turned to that definition, and it said, in a thorough manner. Then I flipped over, and this is the oldest. I don't have the old English dictionary. I wish I did. But I turned over to thorough, and you know what it said? Carried through to completion. And I said, Lord, you're helping me every week to understand that which is perfect. Is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, as I told you last week, the guys that I tend to read behind, One of them says that when that perfect is come, being perfect spoke of the Christian life all the way. Yes, it does. It absolutely does. But what Paul's saying in 2nd, said the all Scripture is given that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. How can God work through you? He can, because He can speak through a donkey. But, friend, when you have the Scriptures in your heart and in your mouth and in your mind, He can work through you in a thorough manner. A complete manner. And I see that now. And my question was last week, how can anybody be complete without the complete Word of God? Amen? You can't do it. Now, when I speak sometimes when people became offended, you've seen it right in this class. When I speak of the Word of God and give it such high honor, some people think you're giving this pulpwood and leather. Mine's got a lot of glue in the back of it, and I put it in there too. But that's not, it's the Word of God and His preserved Word. You can't separate that from Jesus. No more can you separate the Word of God from a complete man. So I don't mind if you explain it either way, to be honest with you. To me, that's a twofold meaning there. If a Christian is going to be a complete Christian, why, now, as I said last week, why would he say in Hebrews 5, let us go on to perfection? Not laying again. What was he laying? Old works. Let us go on to completion. And I can't wait to get up around chapter 13 and 14. It's beautiful there, but it requires some looking. I had never looked up this word thoroughly and got into some, but the only definition that I found in the dictionary that I had, you may go home and get on one and find more, but the thorough carried through to completion, something thorough. Going in one side and out the other, but carried on to completion. Throughly furnished. Buddy, a man will be carried on to completion through the Word of God. Amen? Now, let me look at some of these other things here. If you know Jesus and you know your Bible somewhat, you have access to wisdom that men didn't have before the Bible. Everything that David recorded and Solomon and the places, they said they had more wisdom than the ancients. They do. That, you realize when you sit down and read a complete Bible, what wisdom you have there. I look at, hey, I read something this week. I read a book. Skip through it. I'm a skip reader a lot of times because man goes to blessing himself and all this. I go on a little bit, but I read on Islam in the last days. And you know what? I think it came out of the Hadith where they were quoting there, which is Muhammad speaking, like the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to, that's the way they would look at it. It's what Jesus said, but it ain't what Angel Gabriel gave him in the Quran, okay? But he said, when you see the black flags, go toward them. You think those people over there in that Middle East, they're reading that old scriptures that ain't been messed with, Muhammad, and that's what they're living by. And you see people leaving France, leaving America even, but more in the European countries, heading toward that black flag. Why do you think they're doing that? To go over to die? That's their prophecy. That's only God. Buddy, this book, is the news. When you watch the news, when it said that would be a madman, his hand would be against every man, every man's hand against him, and you see him marching down the streets of a country by satellite, watching nations locking arms, going against Ishmael. When you see the fig tree budding, what he said, you better look up. Amen. I'm not good on prophecy. But I'm not that blind to know that that's what God spoke about. And that rascal raising up, Satan's making his last wars, getting ready for him. But anyway, the Jews rejected. They did it ignorantly. But let me tell you something. They rejected the three of the four sowings. They won't reject the fourth one. I've taught that in this class, how the four sowings, the sowing by the wayside, how they rejected that. John the Baptist come preaching baptism and to repentance for a nation to repent and come back to God. Offering that nation's repentance through baptism. Jesus come and offered them himself. And they rejected him. Then they rejected the Holy Spirit. When they rejected Jesus, as the scripture says in Matthew 13, they were offended. Does this offend you? He said. In John 6:63, and around in that area there, they were offended. All right, they rejected the apostles and disciples there. They rejected them. They rejected the Holy Spirit. They rejected baptism to receive the Holy Spirit. Clear as the nose on your face. They rejected it. They did it ignorantly. Peter said that. He said, I hope that you did it ignorantly. Then, when they rejected the Holy Spirit, then they rejected the Scriptures. But they won't reject it when God plows that new earth. Isaiah 45, David, where he speaks of that. What a sower went forth to plow. Huh? A husband went forth to plow. Buddy, when he plows that ground, it'll be good ground. They won't refuse it. So, we see here that they did it ignorantly. All right, let me move on. All right, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen. Now, we're talking about a complete Christian and the complete Word of God. And he's quoting Scripture here, but look what he says. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. They received what Jesus' prayer asked for them to receive, the Holy Spirit. Amen? For what man knoweth the things of man? All right, let me comment on this. But God revealed them to us by His Spirit. What did He reveal? What didn't He reveal by the Scriptures? I heard of definition of that a preacher used there one time in the paper, written in the paper, where it says, well, we just don't know what's in heaven for us. That ain't what Revelation says. Revelation tells you a lot of things that's in heaven. He said, because I have not seen nor you heard. But Paul went on, don't stop at that verse. Don't stop at verse 9. Go on to verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Deep things. All right. What is it? Golden City? 1,200 miles square? Transparent gold? A body like Christ? No sin? No sun? No death? No pain? I could go on and on. He's revealed them things to us through His Word. All right? Then it says, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And He's going to go on here to talk about this Spirit. His Holy Spirit and its work in man. All right? But what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? You have a spirit in you. And that spirit is going to worship. Amen. Job 32. Job said, there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. But a man that don't have, that, like I said a while ago, a man that has Jesus and he has the book has more understanding than the ancients did. True. But there's four spirits. There's the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. There's the spirit of the devil, which is the unclean spirit. And there's the spirit of man, which is the human spirit. And there's the spirit of animals, which is the spirit of beast. Now the spirit is going to worship. Watch that ball game today and watch it worship. And I get into it too. Boy, when my grandsons, I've been watching all them JV games this year and him playing tight end. I like that. And there's a spirit in me. And it's not bad. Some of them think it's how you feed the world to it, then it's bad. But there's a spirit in man. And the spirit, people don't think, you take a person, get up and shout in a church. And praise God and the Spirit of God move on that person. And you watch people. We see them lip, jaws turned down just like that. Honest, I see that a lot. There's a spirit in man. And sometimes God will bless that spirit so much it can't contain. The same way when the grandson runs a touchdown, there's a spirit. Now, I'm being honest with you, folks. It's the spirit in man. Man has a spirit. And that spirit will worship something. I'll guarantee you it will. Because a wounded spirit, as Brother Jerry Whitehart preached, I heard him preach that twice. A wounded spirit, who can bear it? You wound a man's spirit. A wounded spirit, who can bear it? It's terrible. A man gets his spirit wounded, a man that can laugh at adversity and have a good spirit, that it'll sustain his infirmities. But a wounded spirit, who can bear it? So there's four spirits. And the spirit's going to worship for. But what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit which is in man? You can look at, just cause, hey, don't get offended at me. Don't misunderstand me. Just cause you get up and say it. I don't know that it's true. I'll take you at your word. But there's a spirit in man. Only the spirit in that man knows. When a person praises God, I can feel sometimes the power of God in it. But there's a spirit in man. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit which is in that man? That man, hey, when my mama shouted that old kitchen out now, and I'm going to tell you, I couldn't throw a rock to anybody's house. I could not. My grandmother lived the closest away, and she was over a quarter of a mile at that time. And I was the only one at home. I'm the youngest one. And I've come off that mountain many a time with her doing dishes and her slinging that dish rag and get to singing God's praises, and her spirit was overwhelmed by God. Now, something like that helps me to understand it a little better. But I have saw this, and I've made this statement. And don't get offended at me or misunderstand me. We're talking about the spirit of man. When good people say good things at the wrong time, whose spirit spoke? I've seen a preacher interrupted when the power of God was moving. I have, folks. I've seen the preacher interrupting when the power of God was moving and people were listening and the thought was there because somebody spoke. Good people say good things at the wrong time. What spirit moved them? Did the Holy Spirit move them to interrupt? Those are hard sayings. As Paul said, though, I'll be rude in speech. But only, I can't judge that man, because only the spirit of that man knows what's in that man. Whether it, you know, does that make sense? I hope it does. Well, let's just read it and leave it at that. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Amen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He's clearly saying he's received what God said they would receive in John 16 and 17. The Holy Spirit as the interpreter, the Holy Spirit to help them understand and enlighten the Word of God. Which things also we speak in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, not those things which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. They are. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. But the natural man, there's... the three men here, the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. Right? A carnal man, we want to say, is a worldly man. The Bible's going to show you in the definitions here, a carnal man's not a worldly man. A worldly man's a backslid man. That can be a spiritual man. And he gives it, and I'll show you this as we get to it, but keep that in your thoughts. Holy Ghost teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Don't expect to invite him over to Bible study and get him saved. Unless you're giving him the gospel in that Bible study. Because the gospel is the power of God. And spiritual things, he's not going to understand. Spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And how do we know how to discern? Hebrews chapter 5. Let me turn there. I'm doing a lot of my chapter 13 teaching, but it won't hurt. By the time we get there, we'll go back over. Hebrews chapter 5. I've read this so many times in this class. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word of God in your life will help you to discern good and evil, right and wrong, and the Spirit will give you understanding. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Now this is things he's talking about judging. And brother, you're going to have to judge things. You're going to have to judge things in churches. And you're going to have to judge things in your jobs. And you're going to have to judge things everywhere in your neighborhood. But it's things. That's why he goes on to say, yet he himself is judged of no man. They might try to, but they can't. Only God's going to judge him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul uses but two times in there, in that chapter. But we have the mind of Christ. Let me just go back, and I've read through some of this. Let me just look at some of the notes here in the last 3 or 4 minutes. In verse 11, Job 31, there's a spirit in man. What moves you? Folks, what spirit moves you? Think about it. Are you moved by what spirit's moving you to do what you do? Why do you feel the way you do? What spirit causes me to feel the way I feel when I hear something? Is it my spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? We need to examine ourselves. We need to ask ourselves this question. When I become angry at something, can I blame? Most of the time, I can't blame that on the Holy Spirit. I blame it on my spirit. What spirit? People worship and they don't even know it. God's Spirit guides you, verse 12. Verse 13, spiritual things have to be compared to spiritual things. And man can get a lot of things or understand what God's done in creation. He can get a lot of things. He can. A lost man can know. He can know and feel God created this earth. But the spiritual things, he just can't discern those things. It takes the Holy Spirit in you and the Word of God in its completion in you for you to discern. He cannot communicate. Man cannot communicate with God till he's born again. A lost man, all he sees in the Bible is contradictions most of the time. Because he's reading it and he's not rightly dividing it and he can't spiritually discern it. And if you don't rightly divide your Bible, that's what you're going to say. And the Bible, it says in Romans chapter 12, we're to renew our minds. A saved man, okay, verse 14, 2:14, a saved man has the power to judge spiritual things and unspiritual. While I say judge spiritual things, he can tell you right off the bat if it's spiritual or not. Now, if it's a spirit coming from a man, only that man knows if it's the right spirit and why he's doing it. Yet he himself is judged by no man. And the Holy Spirit teaching the Word of God, Romans 12, 1, would renew your mind. Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A mind has to be renewed. The Spirit needs to be fed. Just the same way the body needs to be fed. You can have a healthy body and a spirit that's just unnourished. Amen? We need to feed the spirit. I tell you, as like I stand this, when I stopped and thought, and I'm going to cover this more in chapter 13, when I looked at that word thorough and thoroughly and saw the definition, you can't say, if you put L-Y on going through something, then in the English language, it don't go there. That's what it says, thoroughly. That's the word, thoroughly. But its definition is in a thorough or complete manner. Thorough, going a thorough, complete manner. Then when I go over to 13th chapter of Corinthians, and I read, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now, we could argue, is that people will say that's Jesus. Right? You've heard it. They'll say that down the end of it, face, because of the word face to face. That's why they say Jesus. Well, you're not face to face. But my Bible teaches I can be face to face. Right in this book, James. As one, the perfect law of liberty. As one beholding his face in a glass. When he looked into it. I believe it's Romans chapter 3. Same way. We're changed to that image. When we look into that glass, we start looking like Jesus after a while. We're changed to that image. Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? And goes on to say there's no creature that's not revealed in His sight. In the next verse. Called Him, made Him alive. The Word of God's not dead. The Word of God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. How are you going to get truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We cannot separate the word from Jesus, the complete man or the perfect man, from the Word of God. When I read these guys, and I thought this week looking, well, no, you're all right. When a man says it, and he takes you to the Scriptures and shows you where, when it's talking about perfect, it's talking about the Christian life and a man going on. But I can take you to the Scriptures that shows you that you're not going to be complete without the Scriptures. And when we say, when the Bible teaches, let us go on to perfection and not laying again something, leaving the principles. That's hard to understand. I've heard it explained in a Southern Baptist church many years ago, and I asked some tough questions back then because I did, a lot I don't know, still don't know. But I asked that question. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, why would I leave anything about Christ? Well, because I had the idea it's going to be over here in the next dispensation, not in this one. He said, let us go on into completion. Not laying again that foundation. Paul said, no foundation can any man lay than that which is laid. And that's Jesus Christ. But there were some different ideas of Him. As I said a while ago, how the Jews rejected John the Baptist's message. When they rejected baptism, that was going to reveal Christ. That's the reason he did it, to manifest Christ. And they come to be baptized to do that. Then they rejected Jesus himself. And then they rejected the Holy Spirit. But one of these days, as it says in Isaiah 45, he's going to plow some new ground, buddy. And that plow is going to be rough. But when he sows the next time, it'll be on good ground that the husbandman of John 15 worked up. When he works that ground up And then when he sows that seed that time, multitudes are going to receive. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your word. Pray that you'll bless in the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.